Okay, good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We're back on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the admin portion of our regularly scheduled commission meeting. It's about 11:20. I'll call the admin portion of this meeting to order. We have one item on consent. I move passage of that item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. So we have four items for discussion. I think in recognition of the fact that a number of the members of the media have stayed for this portion of the meeting, and we've talked a little bit about this ahead of time in the regularly scheduled meeting, I'd like to move number three, which is the Brady Wind LLC item, up to number one for discussion matters. And I believe we have the attorney on this case, Zach Pelham, on the phone. Zach, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to appear by phone today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Zach, for joining us. This is Commissioner Kalk's portfolio, so I am going to go ahead and kick it over to him to lead this discussion. I already did. Zach, I think I already mentioned, but there's a few reporters, Alana, Jack, Vic are here, and other staff members, as well as all three commissioners, Darrell and Esther.
I've been listening in, so thank you, though.
All right, well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Zach, I know you've got another commitment, so thank you for being able to call in. What I'd like to do is just kind of set up what I believe the situation is, and then, Zach, if I miss something, if you could kind of clean up, and then we have to make some kind of decision today here. And basically, as my colleagues are aware of, we've got the Brady Wind Farm hearing scheduled for next week, as well as the Associated Power Line that are scheduled for Dickinson. And so a while back, we received a request for a group to intervene in that case. And so that's basically an ALJ decision to intervene, which we'll let the ALJ make that decision. But in most cases, I've seen where ALJs allow people to intervene if they can show some type of reason, and I think that probably will work itself out. The big decision for us today is we received a request from a group in Stark County that asked us to continue the hearing. And so we've received that request from them, and talking to our general counsel and Zach that, of course, the company, the Brady Wind, will have their opportunity to say why we shouldn't be continuing the hearing. And that, they've told our general counsel, should be their rationale of why they don't think we should continue. It should be in later today. I guess my viewpoint, and then just to put my cards out there early, is that typically when we receive a request for someone to continue a hearing, they make their reason why, and then we receive the filing from the Stark County folks, and I look through their rationale, and it seemed to me to make sense. They want a little bit more time, given the fact that all the documentation has not been there for them to review in ample time for the hearing. In previous commission cases, when you've got a commission that looks at this, I think most of the time they have allowed the continuance to let the groups have a full time to develop their case. And times where there has been some precedents where the commission has not allowed the continuance to take place, and it's gone to the Supreme Court and it got rolled back to the commission. And so I've read through the filing from Stark County, and I think that I would support them continuing it. I have not seen the company's rationale yet of why that. I'm sure it'll say they don't think we should continue it. But that's kind of where I'm at early and the way I understand all the facts. And Zach, if you want to clean up any things that I misspoke on, or Alana, I'd be happy to listen to that now.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Just briefly, I think it's very important that we allow the company to file their response. Mr. Biella, who represents Brady Wind, has indicated to me that they will be filing a response today by 5:00. So I strongly recommend against making any decision on the motion for continuance until after that response has been received. Basically, due process concerns, certainly they have the right to be heard, and we as a commission, I believe strongly that we should allow them the opportunity to be heard. That probably means that a decision on it will have to happen, well, it will mean that a decision will have to happen on this motion for continuance after today. So perhaps I would, you know, from a practical standpoint, I would suggest that the commission perhaps discuss a time to set another meeting to discuss whether or not to grant the motion or to deny it.
So, Zach, Brian here again. I mean, I appreciate your comments about due process, and I certainly agree with that. But, I mean, they are going to ask for – they are going to be against continued. I would suspect that. You never know. But I think for us, I think the precedence of allowing them to continue, certainly we'll wait if we need to. But I think that the fact is that it seems to make sense. What would your thoughts be about that, that the, you've seen half the arguments, if you will?
Right. I mean, the motion for continuance that's been filed by the concerned citizens of Stark County that has sought to intervene, and just for the commission's information, a pre-hearing conference later today will take place by phone to hear that motion to intervene. And as the commissioner mentioned, I expect that the ALJ will permit the concerned citizens to intervene, although obviously until that happens, it's not a 100% thing. But the motion itself on the continuance, you know, there's mention of an action that's been filed by concerned citizens of Stark County in district court. And I guess my opinion on that is that probably doesn't bear much relevance in determining whether or not a siting permit would be or would not be granted by the commission. That happens to deal with a conditional use permit that's being challenged by concerned citizens, and they don't believe, in their pleadings, they state that they don't believe that that was properly granted, summarizing, of course. But as to the rest of the motion for continuance, you know, there have been a lot of filings that have been filed in recent days here by Brady Wynn, and one of the concerns stated by the proposed intervener is that they haven't had the time to review those filings, and I think that that certainly is something that the commission should look at and make its determination based on that. Now, that's, I'm saying all this without having seen Brady Wynn's response. So obviously there may be countervailing considerations for the commission. So I'd withhold, you know, my comments, full comments on that until after I see what the company has to say.
Well, I would say, Madam Chair and Randy, I'm happy to reschedule a special meeting for tomorrow and let the facts sort themselves out. But I wanted to let you both know early what my thoughts are, because Lana and I, Zach, have spent a lot of time in this for the last week anticipating the way this would probably play out. So,
I think it makes good sense. I am inclined to support the continuance as well, but I think we have to wait and see what the Brady Wynn offers in terms of their argument and make a decision with full facts. And so I think we should look on our calendars and set a time tomorrow, if possible, for completing that discussion. So we can add that to admin scheduling if you'd like, or we can do it right now with Zach on the phone, or what do you think, Randy?
I don't care when we do it, but I think we should schedule the meeting for tomorrow sometime to make the decision. I do have a question, though, or a couple maybe for Zach. Does the right, I guess you would say, of someone to request a continuance revolve around them getting intervener status, or do I understand right that even someone who does not have intervener status would have status to ask for a continuance?
Technically, I think, technically, no, I don't think that they do, but practically, Commissioner, and I think really we have to deal with the practical considerations given the fact that the hearing is a week from today scheduled. Practically, it's almost certain that they will be granted intervener status, and their request for a continuance has to be made under our rules, you know, within a time frame that is reasonable. I'm paraphrasing that, but I don't think that from a practical standpoint, Commissioner, denying the motion for continuance because concerned citizen is not yet an intervener would be appropriate. We'll know later today for sure whether or not they've been granted intervener status.
Thank you.
Are you under attack, Zach, or something over there?
I'm sorry. I'm moving about here. I have a meeting. I think I might have mentioned that I'm the president of my Rotary Club this year, and our Rotary meeting is coming up here, so that's where I'm on my way, so I apologize.
Well, Rotarians get very grumpy if you're late, so you don't want to be late for them.
No, I don't want to be late.
Go ahead, Randy.
I don't know, Commissioner, Commissioner Christman, did that answer your question?
It did, and the next one's kind of, I guess, part for you and part for our chairman, but do we need Zach to weigh in some on what time he might be available for a meeting tomorrow?
Let's just schedule that right now.
I have a lunch meeting with a client from 11:30 probably till 1, so if we could avoid that time frame, I'm free otherwise.
Are you guys available at 1?
Absolutely.
1:15?
All I have tomorrow is at Emirates at 11, so...
How about 1:30? That gives Zach a little time to finish his meeting.
This shouldn't be a long meeting, I wouldn't think. I have a 2 o'clock, but
Do you want to say 1:15, just so we aren't rushed?
But our 2 o'clock, I believe, can be pushed back, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so let's go 1:30 and leave Zach a little flexibility.
All right, 1:30 tomorrow, the 25th, in the commission room.
If I could, Madam Chair, too, to Zach, when all of you talk to everybody, I think what... If we could have, you know, we'll have all the facts, but we'll see the filings later today. But if you could also talk to both parties about some dates that they may be available for another hearing, and then hopefully tomorrow we can make a decision. And if the decision is to continue it, we can also get the notice out with the new hearing date. And if we decide to not continue, well, we have the date already.
That and one more thought that I'd have to further delay the Rotarians is this. Part of what I read in the motion for the continuance was that in county related meetings there were huge crowds and not enough time for people to talk and that our planned, besides the date but just the timing of leaving 2 hours for one hearing and then moving into the next would be insufficient. And so Zach, if in your process today, if you could plan on give us some ideas of what kind of time frame we need to hold this to if we in fact would happen to continue it.
Right. No, that's a good point.
I think in recognition of that, we may want to consider having the wind hearing first and the transmission second, because the reality is everyone's going to come when it starts and they'll be sitting there for 2 hours on a transmission line hearing, which probably isn't as relevant to the concerns as the broader project. And so maybe we should think about that as well, just starting with the wind farm hearing. Maybe the next one is the next day or something.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Anything else for Zach?
No. Alana, did you want to chime in while Zach's still on the line? No, okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We'll
bye now.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Okay, so that concludes number 3. Then we'll just go up to the top of the list here on number 1, the FERC RP15-1022 Alliance Pipeline. Jack, you had should be a fairly brief discussion because we've kind of already talked about this, but and gotten your guys' I think approval. But let's just confirm that, and Jack can provide the latest information from FERC on how they want to proceed with this.
All right. So at FERC now, they're moving towards the litigation phase. They're still, I believe, trying to have a couple settlement discussions, is my understanding, and they're trying to schedule it. And I guess this discussion, I was curious as to how the commission would like to proceed with being involved in the settlement discussion. Quite honestly, I think if we're not active in the settlement discussion as a party there, that they probably won't actually occur between Badlands and Alliance. That's my opinion. However, if the commission would like to go forward and have some sort of involvement, I believe probably the best route would be to delegate to one commissioner the ability to take part in that settlement negotiations, but that's just a suggestion, and I'd just like to hear the commission's thoughts on that, and or whether the letter's fine as it is and we just like to take a passive role at this point.
My thoughts are that that you guys give me the ability to go and represent the commission I'd stick close to what we've outlined in our letter, but I think being present in the discussions can really help perhaps facilitate some give and take and some answers to some of the questions that we weren't able to get answered, that kind of fell in between the he said, she said, and we were never able to sit down with all the parties to sort of have a full discussion on these issues. And so if you guys agree to engage in that, I would be happy to be part of that and represent the commission in that manner. Again, knowing kind of similar to when you do, if there's any official action that needs to be taken, we probably have to bring it back here for a vote.
Did our letter that I signed last week, did that get filed?
That's all been filed, Commissioner.
Okay, so that, and when you talk about settlement discussions, that would be taking place in D.C., so it would be Commissioner Fedorchuk and the parties with an ALJ out there, or would they meet here in Bismarck and try to?
That would be in D.C.
Okay, and so that part, got it. And for your point, Julie, if you want to engage, I'm happy to do it, to support that. And I would say that for Alana and Jack, we put together a motion similar that lets me act and through MISO and SPP, so Julie has the authority to act without having to come tell us. Because when I come back, I brief you, but I make decisions for you long before I consult with you based on that motion, because you have to. So did I explain that right, Alana? Because that's delegated to me, that authority. So I think we would do the same, because it wouldn't make sense to send you out there without the authority to say something.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. So that's the route you guys are comfortable taking that. So then we need that motion.
And we have a special meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So
yep.
Maybe I'll just add it on there.
Sure.
The travel for the stuff, is that comes out of commissioner travel, right? There's no other way to do this, is there? That I'm aware of?
Right.
Okay.
I don't think there is. And, well, obviously we will see once we get involved, but we've spelled out the issues in that letter pretty clearly, what they are and who's responsible for getting to the bottom of them. And I think we'll know a lot more after first meeting, you know, what has legs and what doesn't, and we can get a better sense of how long this might take, if there is a resolution that might be within sight, and how much engagement it might require by us, and we can evaluate how deeply we want to be involved after that first settlement meeting.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Randy? All right. There you go, Jack.
So we just need to notice this separately for tomorrow.
Have a motion.
Should be able to do that at 1:25.
Sorry, what?
No. Sure.
Can we do that right before the 1:30?
It will be a special meeting. And there will be now
two items on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Look like an agenda.
Okay. So next, that concludes that item. The Nuclear Waste Strategy Coalition with my name on it. I think that's because we said after NARUC we were going to talk about this again. I wasn't able, because I didn't go to NARUC, to talk to any of the folks out there. But why we set this way was we were going to talk to folks, see what they're getting from it, get a little bit more information from our colleagues on the value of this group, I believe. Did you talk to anyone, Brian?
I did, Madam Chair, and I think that in a perfect world where we had our full budgeting authority, I think there probably would be some value in it. But I think right now the NARUC has the Clean Coal Committee, which I'm the chair of. We've got the Nuclear Subcommittee, which Ann McCabe is the chair of. She's out of Mark, and I talk with Ann quite a bit. And, you know, our issues can be represented through the Nuclear Subcommittee at NARUC. So I think for now maybe we just hold on this. But if you wanted to do it, I wouldn't be against it. But I think that our concerns are oftentimes taken care of through the subcommittee.
I think in lieu of our budget situation, the fact that this would require more travel, I think we probably have to wait.
There's a sign-up fee, too. Isn't there X amount of dollars a year, too?
Yeah, I think it's a membership fee, and then you go to the meetings. I don't remember how much, but it wasn't, you know, inconsequential. I thought it was. I don't have that all here.
When I'm talking to the Minnesota commissioners, I mean, the XL is our company, and, of course, they're involved out there, too. So I think that we may differ in Minnesota on some policies, but the nuclear issues, I think we see the same way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Or they see the same as we do.
Do you have additional thoughts?
No, I agree with where you're going. I'm not sure we agree with Minnesota on some of the nuclear issues. Maybe some of them we do, but I think there's some that we don't. But
sure.
Not really an impact on what we're discussing
here. Nuclear storage issues, right?
With Xcel, we probably agree with Xcel on nuclear storage issues. Okay, so that's we'll hold off on that until we get a better picture of our next budget. I think that's smart. Okay, then damage prevention outstanding penalty balances.
Yes, ma'am. A while back, we talked about we had an offender that we'd find, and they hadn't paid, and we were kind of waiting to see what all that played out. And in my review of all the stuff getting ready for today, talking with Victor and Jack, we still have basically one individual, one company that hasn't paid their fine of $19,000, give or take. And so, you know, what do we do? Still becomes a challenge. And so that's kind of where I think what we do is we continue moving forward, or we just table it. We've got to do something, and it's maybe let Jack explain. The path forward is not as clean as we once thought.
Well, there are a number of things we can do. Unfortunately, one issue that we have with this, and I asked Josh to come here as well, since we had been speaking previously about collections through the state, but the chance of collections on this organization is pretty much slim to none, since they are already dissolved. We could go and do some civil action against them and try to go through and maybe reopen that hearing and or try to pierce the corporate veil and go after them, but that'd be extensive litigation and work and filings more than likely. I could look more into that still, but the last inclination that I had was to, since the company is dissolved, I was going to do a filing and probably request it to be closed at this point in time.
Well, when Jack and I visited about this a little bit, it just seems to me that we start waiving, people don't pay their fines, we don't go after them, what's the point of fining people? But there's also a difference between a company that's completely bankrupt, and so I figured we need to encapsulate this, whatever we do, and if it is a $19,000, but if they're saying that it's not worth it because we can't do it, I want that encapsulated. I mean, why we decided not to do this, what the facts are of this case, so the next time somebody doesn't pay a $3,000 fine, we don't just say, well, we didn't go after this one, so we're not going to go after the current one, because the facts of this case are about as bleak as you can get to go after, from what I understand.
And I think going forward that we should go after almost all of them, but in unique cases we won't. And in that case, I think staff should file a motion and a reason why we're not going to be going after and trying to collect them. And this would probably be an instance where I think where likely it might not be worth it to go after the organization.
What are the companies doing that to collect their costs, do we know, for damages?
I believe there's just one big.
So we have two companies right now. One's very old. It's from like 2012. They didn't pay a $2,000.
No. I mean, in the case that we're talking about, the people whose infrastructure was damaged, are they getting paid for their damage?
they have got paid for some of them. What they end up doing is going to this company's insurance company. And they've got some of those damages paid, but not all. So it ends up, instead of being a fight with the excavator and the operator, it becomes the operator and the insurance company. And particularly on this company, I think what we've heard is that the insurance company is really reluctant to pay out any claims since the company is closed. They don't have a valid policy anymore, you know. Basically be paying out claims on a policy that is no longer in place.
Well, is this like the grayed out? You just go bankrupt and then you don't have to be responsible for any of this stuff?
Kind of.
Yeah, but what's the...
Well, the organization is dissolved officially.
I mean, we spent a lot of money ourselves just processing this case.
Yeah.
And time and...
Tens of thousands.
I mean, I guess then that begs the question, if we know, because they said at the time that they were no longer a functioning company, if we know that ahead of time and we're not going to be able to collect, should we not be expending all those funds ourselves?
And there have been a couple of cases where the company pretty much went under where we dismissed the case since there really wasn't anybody to go after, or even we wouldn't be able to find them for that exact reason.
Oh, so we dismissed it on the front end.
Just a couple, but they have occurred.
I think it's still important to go through the process, even, you know, as we found out in this, with these cases, you know, he said we're filing for bankruptcy and everything like that. I think it's still important to go through the process, you know, to get the visibility out there that we are really looking at this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, once it gets to this point,
I would curtail the process extensively from what we did here if we're going to be going after folks.
Absolutely.
That are going bankrupt and not collecting their fines, because we spent 2 days, if not three or more days, working on this, and had, I think, didn't we pay outside legal counsel? Yeah. So,
I would agree with that. If a company's bankrupt, then the hearing case is closed. And then we put that, I mean, it's just, if that's the scenario we're in right now, then why would we process the case?
Right.
Because this came up in our one call discussion about how to revamp the law, because we brought this scenario up and all the legal minds there said there's nothing you can do, that's the law. So if some company goes bankrupt and there's a claim against them, we should just close it based on the fact that we couldn't force them to collect it.
Yeah. We kind of pushed back a little bit on the Attorney General's office and the Secretary of State a little bit on this whole thing, like, you know, what are we supposed to do with this? How are we supposed to collect our fees? Well, you can go and sue in district court. You can get judgments. You can do a collection agency. Well,
we can do all that if they're still a viable company, what you just said, right?
Well, I think what Jack is saying, so even though they filed for bankruptcy, we could get a judgment against them that this whole, that's kind of Jack's term. I wasn't familiar with that before he said it, but the piercing the corporate veil, so we could. Since this was a corporation, you can generally only take corporate assets. But if we can show that he took assets out of the company in such a way to prevent all of the company's bills from being paid, we could go after him and pay these penalties.
It's usually a substantial burden to get over to pierce corporate veil, though.
And it's more money that, you know.
Could be a lot more money by the time you do that.
And those are general fund dollars. So.
What happens, and I am very doubtful it happened in this case, but sooner or later there'll be another one, and this will be the precedent for that. But say we prepare the motion to just set this aside, or I can't remember what term you used, but just put an end to it. But let's say that then in a year or two we find out that that person is out there and has a brand new company and doing the exact same things, and they just pull the trick on us. Can we revive it then yet, or is it lost because of
a different entity? So that would, I think that'd be very difficult to probably, I don't think we probably should just reopen it and try to mend it to a different organization.
Regrettably, that happens all the time.
Even if it was clearly the same ownership and everything. Okay.
Well, I'm not against you guys preparing what you think it is to close it and make it all the legal arguments and lay out what exactly they did so we can close this up. So 3 years from now, the commissioners sitting here then don't want to ask, why didn't we do something with this? So we have to have I think we should have a commission decision to close this thing or proceed forward. And my recommendation would be to close it at this time.
And then the policy becomes if in the future, if we have cases that are against companies that have dissolved, that we don't process them. I mean, as hard as that may be, but we can't sink a bunch of money in just for the point of doing it and then have everything just evaporate.
It's something we also might want to talk about going forward, and this is like what I said when I was speaking with Josh before, is how we would like to go about doing collections if it does come up, because there are services available and contractors available to the state for debt collection and stuff like that, and we have to determine how that probably work in multiple ways. But
yeah, well, we probably need a proposal for how much does it cost, and you know, all that sort of thing. Facts. I'd be open to that if we are at that point where we have enough debt that we should be formally collecting. But
we don't. It's not a common issue unless the companies,
or if the state has some contract that they work with by a bunch of different agencies, and I can't read that from here, actually. Do we want to talk about this now, or do you want to add debt collection to a future discussion?
These are the state contractors. Here's the fees that we would pay for the collection.
So we pay a percentage of the collection.
Well, for this discussion, I guess I'd want to know if there's other debts, weights and measures, and other parts of the agency where we have debts that aren't being collected, and how that would all feed into this broader discussion. But this is good for a start. Do we have other debts that we should be thinking about this in the full context?
Weights and measures has.
Why don't you jump up, Josh?
Weights and Measures does have a list of past dues, but most of those are $11 a piece and are difficult to justify spending a lot of resources to collect them. We do the best we can internally at this point.
Okay. Well, I guess I would encourage, from my perspective, accounting and the various divisions to look at what sort of collectible debt they have and to come up with a recommendation for whether we should do this or not.
The Commission does have a policy. It's fairly broad, but we do have a policy on debt collection.
Okay.
We'll put that together.
Okay. Does that work for you guys?
Yes, ma'am. So then you guys can, by next meeting, have a recommendation to close these two cases.
Okay. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
And you guys can bring the debt policy issue back to discussion whenever you're ready. Okay. All right.
Old timers used to say there's no sense beating a dead horse.
Okay, so that concludes discussion matters, and we just have one scheduling matter. Work session Oasis Midstream. That was the hearing 2 weeks ago, Sarah? When did we have this hearing, and where was it? Remind me.
This was the hearing in Watford City where we did the two-for-one. And
oh, yes.
We had the hearing in the morning, and then this was the afternoon hearing. I think it was on February 9th.
Okay. And the crude oil, I'm just trying to remember if I feel like there's anything in this one that requires a work session. That was pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, the pipeline is 19 miles. It goes from the Wild Basin crude handling and processing facility to the Tesoro Johnson's corner with an offshoot to Dakota Access.
Madam Chair, I'm open to work sessions if we want to schedule them, but I also, if they get the draft order out and there's something that we fundamentally don't like, we could do the work session, but most of these...
Were there any issues with this one, Sarah?
I don't think there would be any issues.
Was there issues on the certification document on this one?
No. They signed it
as is
standard.
Okay. Yeah. Randy?
If the order were what I would expect it to be, I would not have a need for a work session on
okay.
this.
Okay. So when we get the draft order, you can shop it around, and if there's no concerns, then we can just add it to the agenda at the right time and move ahead without a work session.
Okay. We'll do that. Thanks.
Okay. So we've already scheduled a meeting for tomorrow. There's no other meetings to schedule. Unless you guys want to get together to just for old time's sakes.
We'll schedule a special one tomorrow after the other special.
All right.
They're all special.
All right. Well, that concludes all the items on our agenda. We do not have an informal this afternoon, so we are adjourned.